Let's pray. Father, we pray that you might help us to hear the voice of our Good Shepherd and to follow him in all things, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you like to have a seat, please? We had a group of ladies come and entertain us at our Lions Club dinner during the week. And Dennis and I were both discussing how pleasantly surprised we were at how good they were. They were the Yooka Ladies, a ladies' ukulele band, and they were really good. But chatting to one of the ladies, she was saying that she was a kettle connected with the singing kettles. And I said, oh, I know the singing kettles. She said, really? How do you know the singing kettles? I said, well, I grew up in Tamworth, the country music capital of Australia. Now, I'm not a great fan of country music, though I do like some of it. You mightn't be a country music fan either, though some of you might well be. I heard someone one time say, you know, they like both kinds of music, country and western. But one country singer that I do like, that I do enjoy, is a fellow called Paul Kelly. He's one that has a number of good songs that I enjoy listening to. A few years back, Paul Kelly had a hit song with a song called Be Careful What You Pray For, You Just Might Get It. That title picks up a fairly common little saying. At least it was common when I was growing up. My mother was a great one for pithy little words of wisdom, wise sayings and proverbs and so on. And one that she used to tell us as kids was, be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you pray for, or be careful what you ask for, could well be sayings, I think, that are applied to the Jews in today's gospel reading. They came asking Jesus for something, and in the end, he gave them far more than what they'd bargained on. And in doing so, he actually gives us both a challenge and a great source of comfort as well. The Jews had come to Jesus to challenge him. They asked him, tell us plainly if you are the Christ. Don't keep us in suspense any longer. And yet, this wasn't really a cry seeking after faith. This was a challenge or a threat. In just a short space of time, they would be putting Jesus to death. And here they were, looking for some reason to condemn him. They wanted him to make a plain claim to his own messiahship, as if his earlier words and deeds had not been enough. Indeed, Jesus says to them that they ought to have known by what they'd already seen and heard of him, just exactly who he was. He says that he did tell them, though there's really no record of him anywhere saying to the Jewish leadership such a direct statement as that. I think what he means here is that he's shown them plainly all the way along who he is by his actions and by his teachings. And yet, here at this time, he wouldn't make that direct claim that they were looking for. To have done so in such a politically charged atmosphere as they found themselves operating could have been open to too many misunderstandings. Because though he was the Messiah, the Christ, he wasn't exactly the kind of Messiah that they, or as his opponents, or even his followers might have been expecting. He wasn't the same kind of Messiah. In fact, he was far more. He is one with the Father. He is God's Son. He is God the Son. They'd asked him for one thing. He'd given them far more than what they'd bargained on. But it's interesting that they had not been able to understand who he was on the basis of what he'd said and done, even though Jesus implies that they should have. In the famous words of Professor Julius Sumner Miller, whom some of you may remember, why is it so? Well, John refers to them as the Jews. But often in his gospel, this is kind of a shorthand way of referring to the Jewish leadership, the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, and so on. They were the people who often throughout the Old Testament were referred to as God's appointed shepherds of his people. They were the ones who were meant to lead and to guide and to protect God's sheep. Now, in the latter part of today's reading, Jesus has a bit to say about shepherds and sheep, something that I want to come back to in a moment. But just before today's gospel reading comes a much longer and very well-known passage about shepherds and sheep and sheepfolds and doors and gates. It's here, in this longer, earlier section, that Jesus calls himself the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. So these Jews, the Jewish leadership, had been meant to be shepherds of God's people. But in contrast, Jesus comes claiming that he is the good shepherd. These guys had forfeited their position, partly because they'd not lived up to it. But now Jesus goes even further than that. He says that not only is he the shepherd of the sheep, but that he knows his sheep, and that his sheep know him and his voice. His sheep follow him because they accept and understand him, because he knows them. But these other guys, who were meant to be shepherds, are not even fit to be sheep. In fact, Jesus says that they are not his sheep. Now there's a turn up for the books. They're meant to be the shepherds of God's people, but they're not even among the sheep. That's why Jesus says that they could not believe who he truly was, because they were not his in the first place. He'll go on to speak great words of comfort and reassurance to those who are his. But here is where I think he sets up a challenge for each of us as well. How much do we understand of Jesus? Perhaps not very much, perhaps significant amounts. Often there's far more that we wished we understood. I'm sure we'll never fully comprehend who Jesus is this side of eternity. But I wonder if there may be some among us today who've never really grasped who Jesus is. There may be some who are still wondering, could this really be God's chosen one, God's Messiah? Or is he just a great teacher or a bit of a miracle worker? At the end of this short section, Jesus will say that he and the Father are one. And elsewhere he says that no one comes to the Father except through him. As I mentioned in the passage just before today's, he says that he is the door or the gate, the means of access into the Father's sheepfold and membership of God's people. We all need to grow in our understanding of Jesus, but if your struggles to believe in him arise from the fact that you've never accepted him as your good shepherd and asked him to make you part of his flock, then it's a great time to do so. I'd love to have the opportunity to talk with you personally at any time about how you can enter through that door and become one of Jesus's sheep. Because for those of us who do know Jesus and hear his voice and believe, there are great words of comfort here too. Those who do belong to Jesus and Jesus's fold can never be snatched out of his hand. We have eternal life, and whatever this life may throw at us, we shall never perish eternally. We've been given into Jesus's hand by God the Father, and God the Father is greater than all, and so our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, the Great Shepherd, can be trusted to uphold us to the very end, because Jesus and the Father are one. This is not what the Jews were looking for, but perhaps they weren't too careful in what they'd asked for. They certainly got far more than they'd bargained on. They'd come with a bit of a challenge for this self-proclaimed Messiah, and instead they'd got an encounter with God the Son. As we go on in our shared Christian ministry together, there may well be times that we find more in our relationship to Jesus than what we'd bargained on. Certainly there will be many times when the community around us encounters in us and in our relationship to Jesus something far more than they'd expected. May we be ever trusting in our Heavenly Father and in Jesus, both of them one, to hold us in their hands as we present the challenge to all people of becoming part of the flock of Jesus, the great and constantly surprising shepherd of his sheep.